I got it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm good.
I initially said that we needed to adjust the agenda, but it was corrected because the first agenda that went out was mistaken. Of course, the one that you had from the minutes is represented here, so we're okay with the agenda. I'll look for approval for the agenda.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Any discussion, additions, corrections?
So I needed to have I suggested an additional agenda item, but maybe I didn't need to. I'm not sure. I frankly don't know what these numbers are referring to. I can't keep track of them. All I'm pointing out is
the mental health piece.
There were changes in that need to be taken into account, which I have now done, but we need them on the agenda
What I'll do is I'll just make a C item just to make sure we cover the mental health changes that you sent ahead and just call it mental health. I don't know if it's covered in all those recommendations, but just in case it's not, we'll put that there. Anything else? All in favor of the agenda as amended?
Aye.
Any opposition? Public participation. Any public participation? Any speakers of the public want to speak to this committee?
You're the public and Pat's the public. So.
We only have two people.
Yes, I do, but she can go first.
You're not on the committee. You get to talk now and
never have. I have nothing to say. Okay,
we're
all in.
Okay, good.
Anyway, my name is Sophia Lewis. I'm leading the Women in the Jail Work Group of CCPJ. And there is plenty of the programmatic nature of the funding that needs to be looked into for women in the jails. And we have all kinds of things that were related to, I don't know how much of when I spoke at the April 2nd meeting with Dr. Kalmanoff there, how much of it you actually caught about women's issues. We met with them the day before that, Women in the Jail Work Group, to talk about things related to the ability of women to regain custody of their children while they're in jail, because the course that's presently taught is taught by a consultant and is not approved, even though she used to work for the CFS, the course is not approved for their required social services plan, but it doesn't stop the clock running for their limited 9 months of time. So if they're incarcerated for 6 months, then the clock starts running and they only have 3 months left. Whereas if DCFS, who has refused to teach, despite Ms. Nancy Griffin, the jail program coordinator's requests, has refused to teach the courses or have them taught in the jail, they have refused over the years to do it, and so she finally just went ahead and hired an outside consultant just so that, who comes on her own time, just so that they can have the information. And so we don't know what might need to go into having the course restructured into nice little neat units so that when the women, if they don't finish taking the courses, and even fathers, while they're incarcerated, they can pick up, you know, right where they left off if they have to continue the course out of the community. So if that, you know, who knows, if you need to hire a U of I social services intern to restructure the class or anything like that, then who knows what kind of funds that would involve. And also, there are, you know, different programs. There are reading room programs that I've seen online. We really, the Women in the Jail Work Group, I have a person who I would like to organize our regular meetings, and I didn't plan that meeting until this Saturday. I didn't even know about this meeting until earlier today. So just like, you know, you all needed more time or asking for more time, well, we need more time. And to come up with some more specific estimated costs of things for women in jail. And so that's those kind of... Oh, and the other thing is, there are several ways that can be done. You know, we don't know if, you know, once the class is restructured or if Dr. Kavanaugh brought up, you know, what about transportation, transporting the women to take the class to where it's taught on the outside. So, you know, those are alternatives. I started to bring that up, you know, in the proposal to him first, but I thought to maybe bring up the more cost-effective one first. So, you know, we have all kinds of things that we could get consideration to have those included, and if I could email you all with this so that you all could kind of decide, because I understand that between now and the 5th, you know, there's not going to be much time to, you know, add more consideration for other kinds of costs, but, you know, we'll try to give it to you.
Thank you, Sylvia. James, and then
ask her. I wanted to ask her, can I ask her a question? Could you just, you know, identify, and I think there's a problem you're trying to address, which is the women who are incarcerated often lose custody or run the risk of losing custody of their children. Could you just talk a little bit about that and how that connects to the class that you're talking about? Just give us a little more context.
Yes. If there is an incident for which a mother is arrested that relates with her children, a claim of abuse, then and she's incarcerated, she is offered a service plan, a social services plan of required courses in order to, you know, go before the judge and say, well, I've completed these courses and so forth. And so if she doesn't get the opportunity to take as much of that as possible, problems can be set up on, you know, once she gets out, if they're released to outlying areas like Rantoul and they have transportation problems. And so one delay leads to another delay, leads to another delay. One young lady that another group I'm involved with is working with, and whose example that we used extensively for where the jail issue intersects with the custody issue, she finished her requirements in 18 months instead of 9 months. And so it's not so much as they instantly and automatically lose custody of their children, but it weighs heavily against them for not completing them in the time frame.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question.
Going to make that point.
Okay.
It's part of why Cal called it unconstitutional, what's happening out there.
And he also made the statement in his report that whatever the requirements are for women in the jails, it should be something that is doable. And he said that is part of the boilerplate information that he has, you know, in that chapter about women. Mm-hmm. But it is into life, a lot of the care presentation information that he has in there.
Thank you, Sophia. What we'll do is we're going to look at other recommendations either that we've missed or perhaps that could fit somewhere in the existing place. I'm not sure where it fits. But we're going to talk about that, and it may be something outside of this task force, but could be something that Dr. Kavanaugh really hits on when he does his final report. So I don't know exactly yet where we need to.
And the at-home incarcerations, too, different programs and their models for that kind of thing, too.
Okay. You don't mean specifically for women in that case. You're talking about just for people in the jail, right?
It's geared around mothers as an alternative.
It's geared around mothers. Okay.
An alternative.
Okay. All right. If there's no other public participation, we'll close public participation at this point. We are approving two sets of minutes because the previous meeting minutes weren't available at that point. Are there any corrections to the minutes at all that you all see? No corrections. I'll entertain a motion.
Who did that?
Oh, sorry, darling. Is there a second to the approval? Second. All in favor of the approval of the minutes of April 15th and May 15th?
I think this will be short. Okay. So if you had an opportunity to read the draft, funding draft that Mike and I sent to you all, we'd like to just go through it kind of briefly, take your recommendations, changes, whatever. It's called Mike Richards' Chamber Packet.
Yeah.
Although Carol comes before Mike. Anyway.
you'd be walking us through it then?
Five minutes.
Hopefully, it's pretty straightforward.
I hope it's pretty straightforward. The first half was written by Carol. I think James helped on that. And let's walk through this because there are a couple areas where we really still need your help to improve this. Carol, is there anything on the first half you want to
say? Yeah, so on the first part, number two in particular, I left a blank in there as far as the cost of building and facilities cost. What I realized after I had written it was it's a bigger elephant than time actually permits for us to draw out those numbers because we don't have, as a county, the accounting software or the research to pull every single cost that's attributed to the facilities and the building, including operations, including staff and support and things of that nature. So I was trying to see, just from the committee's thoughts, whether you felt it was necessary to put it there or how we could get at really how much money we allocate towards this process in the first place, if it's necessary or should we simply strike it. Ask for you to speak to that.
I'd like to speak to one.
Okay, sure.
I don't believe that the county board does decide how the funds allocated to the sheriff's department will be used. We give him the money and he decides how they're used, I believe. Is that true, Deb?
Well, the county board allocates the money to the sheriff's department, and there are particular things that we have to do with it, but philosophically, he does determine, so to speak, where he wants to spend it and that kind of stuff. But we can say, for instance, we could cut the budget for whatever reason if we decided to do that and say the goals of the county, because we do have county goals around criminal justice, that these are the goals that we want to meet as a county, and this is what we'll fund because we're the funding source, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's two sides to this.
Yes,
you're
yes.
both right. But once the county board has established the budget for the sheriff's office, the sheriff controls it completely.
Mm-hmm.
But the county board has to approve that budget,
yeah.
and it can be based on what the sheriff is asking programmatically to be able to provide in services and what he needs to operate the jail and law enforcement and things like that. So that's what he presents. And I think what Carol is saying is, based on the county board's strategic plan, and elected officials and department heads are to align their own strategic plans with the county board's plan, that could lead to a shift in some of that programming.
Mm-hmm.
But once the budget is set, it is completely at his discretion. Yeah.
But we've got the front door.
Right.
I have a couple questions on that. With the Sheriff's Office and the Illinois Budget Control Act, mm-hmm. the first would be, now, does he just have to... Can he do anything he wants with a lump sum, or does he statutorily have to follow the line items that we put in just like everybody else? Because some of these have the Budget Control Act, obviously.
Right. He's controlled in terms of personnel and non-personnel.
Okay.
So you could put a whole bunch of money in one non-personnel line item, and he can spend that on anything else that he wants to spend it on.
So largely he doesn't have to follow line items.
No. But the basis for the budget, you know, becomes what his operation is and what he's requesting you to provide so that he can fund that.
Well,
operation.
In a worst case scenario.
Right.
And the part B is, I know there's an exemption for sheriffs, at least, on the Budget Control Act. Is that for capital costs? Are you familiar with that?
Right. He does not have to follow any policies established by the county board except the purchasing policy.
Okay.
He is bound by the county's purchasing policy. And that would be for capital purchases and big purchases of that nature.
So basically, this really is dealing with the side of allocation where we, as a task force, are asking for a reprioritizing of the funds that we give you. Now, he ultimately, or whomever the sheriff might be after him, the assumption is he's always a sheriff, but it's an elected position. So whoever the sheriff is should align with the principles of the county board. That's basically what I'm saying here. Okay. Yes.
The first point is well taken. The county should set the priorities and what they'd like to see as the goals.
Mm-hmm.
But at the bottom here it says the Champaign County Board spending priorities are not in sync. And so there's at some point when the sheriff comes back the following year, in addition to asking for money for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
The county board should set some kind of outcome measures based on the goals that they have. How did you meet any of these goals? And if they're not able to show that, then the budget can be adjusted accordingly.
Okay.
So you're missing the evaluation piece that goes with the goals.
And you're saying it should be in one, in number one?
Well, step has to be in there. Otherwise, you're just saying he's asking for money, you're giving him money, he does with it whatever he wants, he's asking
but
for money.
But you have these goals, but you never line them up.
Right.
I got you. Okay. So that can definitely be added somewhere. You write it down, right?
I'm writing it down.
Okay. Number two, I left the blank there. And number two, because I was... And maybe we can strike number two. Let me hear what you all think, because I'm thinking my own self now.
They don't have an upkeep fund for all the facilities of the county, and they're all falling apart. So this is a small part. You can't segregate these dollars. It's a small part of county needs a maintenance budget to maintain its buildings before they all fall down.
And so maybe the point really just needs to be that there needs to be adequate funds put actually into all line items of every building. Every one I looked at had zero for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they can't do that.
Yeah, so
that's always going to have a deficit.
But I mean, it seems that our recommendation would have to be that there should be a line item established for maintenance at the jail.
There actually is.
Is there
a repair and maintenance line item for each of the buildings.
It's
under
the
physical plan.
Right, it's under physical plan.
Right. And there are monies budgeted each year in those line items. But there, first of all, it's not documented what should really be budgeted, and what is budgeted is nowhere near. It only allows for reactionary dealing with crises rather than proactive maintenance and management.
And so I thought when I looked at the budget, and I saw it in the physical plant, but it's not enough to cover all the buildings, certainly.
Yeah.
Each of those buildings, the courthouse, the jail, all of them should have their own Perkins line item with maintenance in it. There should be money in each one of those so that you can track separately, not in reaction, but as a part of a regular planning process like the highway department does, to make sure the buildings are maintained. But we don't maintain the jail, which is the biggest issue that we're in right now. So I think two can be rewarded, however we want to reward that.
So it seems to me we should be calling for a reassessment of the maintenance budgets to bring them up to a standard that would allow for adequate maintenance. So it's a two-step process. The first is to actually reevaluate the existing budgets, which, I mean, as Deb said, are too low, and establish them at a level that will allow them maintenance of this facility.
I don't think you can establish a maintenance budget separately for each building, because maintenance comes in big chunks, unless you're going to capitalize it and have the money set aside ahead for each building.
I mean, I think we could. I mean, the board.
I think it would get dipped into by something else. I think a maintenance budget for all of the buildings would make more sense, so that when something big needs to be done, you don't have the little budget for that building. You have the money to do it.
Well, maybe the recommendation, because it is broader than just the jail, could be that when budgets are established, and we can start with the jail, if there's any proposal to build or whatever, that an annual maintenance fee is included in the projections somehow. That you're saying, we want want to build this building. And, you know, this is funny. This is, the public was told this is the last jail building we will ever need in forever and ever and ever. I don't know about
that. Yeah, I looked at it from 1984 all the way here.
So,
comical,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Lynn?
I haven't been able to give this the close look it deserves, but here's several comments. I would recommend that we start out with the jail, brief history too, in 1980 and separate by construction operate. We spent X million. Well, we would know how much the jail cost, didn't we, to build?
Mm-hmm.
Just to build.
Yeah.
In 1980, this, and maybe you won't have operating. All you have to say is,
yeah,
in addition, there was the cost of this. Then in 19, whatever the year is, this for construction. No, it was 2000. What was it? I'm lost track. Middle 90s, and then there was something else in the early 2000s, right? 2000.
Not for the jail.
There was an addition on the satellite.
Addition on the satellite.
No. Yeah.
Maybe.
We did the courthouse addition. We did the juvenile detention center. But 1995, the satellite jail was constructed, and that's the last time there was a construction for jail.
Okay.
We built a jail in 1980, built a jail in 95. It opened in 96.
So I'm talking like two paragraphs. But so that it just say construction and then say in addition, you know, generally, so, and the reason why this is important is so that people can see, first of all, we had this, it was so expensive, specifically, whatever the millions are. Then we have this, millions. On top of that, we have operating. Here's what we know. It's a minimum, whatever figure you've got, but we know there's much more.
Operating,
and you know that, yeah, operating. So in those two paragraphs, you aren't going to be able to get them all because there's probably a figure out there that they call a hidden cost. It's probably a third, but I don't have it at my fingertips. But by mentioning even the official operating costs, they're so high when compared to the cost of community corrections, and I think that is important rather than just saying, you know, it was said the last jail, this is how much it's cost. Because I think that brief history is, again, there's this amount, there's this amount, and we're about on the verge of another huge amount. So it's almost like, pause, everyone, pause, because we're talking about such money, and because we have a history of this and making all the decisions. But in any event, I think that, and I would start with that and add those details, and what you don't have, you acknowledge. But it sends a message. There's a lot more that's being spent that we don't even know. I was hoping, then, that we could compare the numbers in the jail versus those in the community correction system, because normally when we look at the numbers, we see that, and this is just, will vary, but maybe 90% of the funds are going for institutional corrections, jails and prisons, and you've got a fraction of the people compared to those in community corrections. And so little comparatively is going to community corrections. So I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, I know the jail, but what we've got in community corrections, if we've got that would be helpful to me to...
I don't know what that is.
Well, yeah, so Joe Gordon would have the community corrections, I would think.
Do you mean people in court services?
It would probably be pretty much who would it be probation and diversion, the drug court. You know, what's that number look like?
Are you looking for a budget number or
both? So what I'm thinking,
I can tell you the budget number when we get to that side.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking we'll see is there's so many more people in community corrections, and the amount of money that's devoted to that, it'll still be a lot, but it's a pittance compared to the jail, and we've got people in there 5 days, 7 days. In 3 days and the like. But in any event, getting up to the first paragraph, my initial concern about this is it leaves this impression that we're saying, let's take what the sheriff gets and now kind of use that money and encourage him to use it towards alternatives. And the day reporting center might be run by the sheriff. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's run by probation. Sometimes it's run by a nonprofit. So I think that we need to just be careful about wording that. Politically, it may be decided that that's what needs to happen because the sheriff will be not happy about money being diverted from him. But I'm not sure we would be resolving that question. Do you think we need to resolve In other words, we could say there is money from the sheriff, but I don't want to leave an impression that it's the sheriff who will run these community sentences.
And I'm not suggesting who will. When I spoke to the sheriff, he said, well, you know, what kind of program? And I said, I don't know. That's not my decision.
I guess another question I have, because I feel the public safety sales tax, a lot of people won't know what was the catalyst for how that was sold to the public. When they approved it, what did they think they were buying? Did they think they were buying utility costs for county facilities? And how that was marketed and then contracting that with what it's actually spent on. And then in terms of us.
You don't suggest that we need to put that in here.
I think the purpose?
To the public safety sales tax. You mean to have some historical review in
here? It's not extensive. We don't have to, but to say this tax was approved, this is what the public thought they were buying, approving, and instead they're paying utilities.
We had that fight already on the board, and I agree with
they
you.
They thought they were buying one thing, and they were really buying quite another.
But this is being issued, in other words, to the public. I don't think the public, I was astonished, quite frankly, when I heard, and I thought nothing surprised me when I heard it was going utility bills for the courthouse.
I understand that point. What I'm suggesting is, as the NIC report reflected, the total concept was to use the public safety sales tax to build or turn to whatever was going to be done, it was going to be done from there. Actually, I think this needs to be single paragraph. That's what I think. I think it needs to be one paragraph. We need to reallocate funds so that we can pay for the alternative services that are really the meat and potato of this task force. I can do that in one paragraph. And I think the county board wants the bottom line. What are you asking me for? And they don't want to rehash that conversation because we've done that and argued several hours over that misrepresentation of the sales tax. Mm-hmm. It's on the record. Mm-hmm. I don't think it needs to be here. I think this paragraph number 3, truthfully, can be the only paragraph.
All right, and then my final observation is I feel that we should be talking about using that for alternative incarceration. When we start talking about using it for maintenance, that's not what it was for. And also our charge is focusing on reduction of recidivism, reducing incarceration, facilitating reentry. The jail is a disaster. We all recognize that. That money, I don't think we should be talking about coming from the public safety sales tax. That public safety sales tax is for things like pretrial services, day reporting center, some of the mental health diversions.
That's not the third paragraph.
No, but aren't we talking about maintenance?
I don't think so.
Okay, got it.
Frankly, I think 2 would be fine if you just took the word jail out of the last sentence. We need a proper maintenance fund for
some sewage. I'm sorry. I'm confusing what I heard somebody say. Very good.
I can scratch the line item out because the dollar figure billing and cost is going to take us way more time than I have to give to collect all of that information. So I'm willing to make number 3 the only paragraph. But I thought for entertainment I would. James, I'm sorry.
Make general stuff a couple things. One, I'm thinking that although we're fixing this at 30%, or we're fixing it at a percent, which I think we need to have.
We're making a recommendation.
I think we should also be looking at phasing in a larger percentage of that. But as programs expand, and I mean, if we look at the budgets for the programs that we're putting together, so we should, because the programs that we're recommending are things that are going to be phased in, and we're hoping that there will be less of a demand for funding for construction, and gradually we can move toward a larger percentage of the public safety sales tax going toward alternatives. So I'm thinking we should somehow hint that this is a direction. The first step we want to make is a leap from like 5 to 30 is what the recommendation is, and then we can find ways to gradually increase that because that's the direction that we're trying to move in.
Let me jump in on that. Because I had to knock the draft down from 40 to 30. We could certainly put what our goal is, but it's a 30 because 70% is obligated for bonding for a number of years here on out. So there's really no point except for saying what our goal is and saying more than 30 because it's at least for, is it 2018 at least? Or is it all the way to 2029?
Yeah, it goes all the way to 2029. There's a significant drop in 2019.
Okay.
And, of course, the sales tax goes up between now and then. So, but that is something to also remember as you look at a percentage. You're looking at a dollar number, and it's based on a percentage that increases each year, which should keep pace. I mean, there's not new money. That's how we have to rely on all other funding, is that the growth in the revenue source creates the money to sustain whatever it is.
So through at least 2018, we're largely looking at it should be fairly stable around 70% going for bonding for a previous project. Not even talking about whether there would be bonding for any possible expansions that we're looking at now from the public safety sales tax.
Well, I mean, I don't want to reopen old wounds, but I mean, we do know that this bonding, these bonds have been refinanced, and so we paid very little on the principal because we've been using it for other things. So it does open up the possibility that there could be other monies made available for alternatives to incarceration by doing some other kinds of refinancing. I mean, I'm not saying we should necessarily be recommending that, but I'm just putting that out there that 70% may be where we're at now, but we haven't been at 70% since the thing started. So I think there might be a little more room to play with than that formula suggests. So.
Actually, 30% is a very, very large amount of money. And some of it, I think, is probably pretty significantly allocated already. I mean, including to alternatives like the Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that.
Yeah, it's small right now. It's small.
But that's a lot of money. I don't think we're ever going to get 30%. That's all of it. That is the entire discretionary amount. I don't think we'll get it all.
Well, if I could, the refunding, all the refunding that was done wasn't done to restructure so that we had more money. It was done to save on interest costs. So the reason it goes down in 2019 and beyond is because those refundings were done. So we haven't reallocated money that was originally intended for debt service as a result of having done the refundings.
I think right now what we are recommending to be the minimal number, and it does say it's minimal because the board can decide what to do, is to reallocate 30% so that we can seriously look at public safety. Public safety does not mean jails, police, and armor. Okay, we have to, there is a shift in thought that has to take place in order for you to really broaden what public safety means. And until we do that, until we seriously allocate funding to it,
how much is 30%?
About 1.1 or 1.2 million, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I mean, that's
it is basically what is not now already firmly committed.
Correct.
That what we're doing with that money right now is paying for technology for the criminal justice system and paying utilities costs of the facilities. And that 1.1 or $1.2 million, if not paid by public safety sales tax, will have to be paid by some other fund because those are not dollars that go away.
So, any other changes, additions to this part?
I have one question. I realize our task force is talking about diversion options or pretrial options, things like that. Are we going to give any consideration at all to the idea that there does need to be some kind of facilities, either renovation or construction, for some amount of money? Just totally for the county.
I think that the county, Mr. Kalmanoff has done a good job of making 14 points.
Right, and that's what I'm asking. We're just not addressing that at all.
I don't think so, because our recommendations are the alternatives, the restorative, the recidivism reduction. His is an overall picture of the facilities, the pretrial. He's going to include all of those. We're trying to find a background to the things in the alternative plans that he didn't even know. He's mentioned, but he didn't.
Right.
He knows that he didn't.
Okay, sure. No, that's fine. I just want to be sure we're not.
This is the first
of a small point, but on these statistics for the food costs and so forth, we're going to include those. I don't think they really mean much if they're not like per capita or as a percentage of budget or something. You just put figures. I mean, although they're similar counties, I mean, if their population isn't exactly the same, or I don't think they're going to illustrate much.
And that would be hard to do because, of course, jail populations move, you know, daily. But I would agree with that. I mean, just speaking of what you guys have experience with, because while McLean County is going to see a bit more, their jail is significantly more overcrowded and have maybe 50% more people, 45,000. So it might actually be a little bit easier if we could somehow get an average from their censuses and divide it that way. I think that would be helpful.
Divide
and
their numbers by their
so, yeah, if McLean County is 280 on average, you know, what is that per inmate or champion? I think that would be pretty helpful.
Okay. I have a question for Julian.
Is it about this?
Well, it just be, should we be mentioning, I know we mentioned mental health board funding, should we be mentioning public health department as potential funding for the behavioral health recommendations? That'd be mental health and substance abuse. Should we mention that as a potential?
I think the question that we had before, I don't know if there's been any discussion in the area with the public health. I know the county public health system has very little resources. They really depend on CU public health.
Oh, yeah.
And so
they're beside the point.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not
it's
even.
It's the
CUPHD. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if that's it.
Well, the situation. So I inquired as to what do other public health districts in Illinois do, and there it's a complicated story because some counties don't have a 708 board, so they have other. I don't remember the number of the act, but they have other methods that. They fund mental health services. So that would be different than us because we do have a 708 board. But there are ways that in which county boards of health, and this, it's a, within the national picture of public health and physical health are understood to be interrelated. So disciplinarily speaking, this is a way that people want to think. For example, it's a well-known fact that people with serious mental illness have 20-year less life expectancy than people without serious mental illness. What's the reason? Because they don't get the physical care that they need. They, you know, they get confused. They don't get enough attention. So there are plenty of public health issues that intersect with mental health. Our local situation is such that the CUPHD, that's the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, could, if they chose to, pay some attention to the problems of people in this community who suffer from serious mental illness and have a variety of physical problems that are appropriate for a public health district to pay attention to. They have chosen not to do that. So, why is that? And this is the part that has to be. I mean, this is really a political question, and I'm not quite sure that how much needs to go or should go in our report. So, what I suggested is that the county begin discussions with the CUPHD. The CUPHD actually only has three people on their board. These people are elected for other reasons. One is the county board chair. So the county board chair and the two township supervisors from Cunningham and Champaign Township make up the board. Historically, that board has taken few, if any, policy positions so that the staff of the CUPHD pretty much operates however they want. Now, that's just a fact historically.
So Julie,
we could.
Let me just ask you to interrupt for a second, just for the point.
I was just going to get to the punchline.
Great.
Can I get to the punchline?
And then you can.
The punchline is, the
the punchline is that we should recommend, I think, that the county, led by its the chair of the county board, and their board should engage in a conversation with the county to look at ways in which public health and mental health could collaborate.
But the question was funding. Just should we highlight, they've got the 100,000, you know, and put it in here. That was my only question. Should we mention that? And I'm not, I don't have an answer to that question, but we mentioned mental health board, so I didn't know if we also wanted to mention public health as a possible source of funding for the for some of the behavioral health recommendation.
What I would say for this, for this agenda item, is that the mental health board both is planning on spending money on this and is a county body. The CU Public Health District is not a county body. So I would feel uncomfortable putting it in this section. I mean, we could also say that the state should do certain amount of things, but the state isn't going to care. I would think that would go better in Julian's section, talking about the ways that might interspersed together. But I think it's a political process, not a...
Darlene is next.
I was just going to ask the question if, based on this sort of idea that public health and mental health were related, and maybe it should be in Julian's section, would there be a possibility that public health could provide some of the services at the jail or to the population being served by the jail or the probation department or whatever?
Well, I'm recommending in my report that one place that public health could contribute would be to place people at the newly developing community resource center at formerly Provena, because we're trying to think about a way, the police are trying to figure out a way, the county's trying to figure out a way to work in relationship there. So that would be the location, I think, that would be appropriate for public health to put some support into. Now, that would make a tremendous difference because they can't handle all themselves. The police would like to have a place where they could bring people as an alternative to taking them to the jail.
But I think the public health district itself wouldn't necessarily be the place, but I see the connection because we're paying for mental health services and we're paying for health, limited health services that public health do. So, I do see...
That's
the only connection that I see there, but I wouldn't put it here, and if there's any statement to that, it probably should be where Julian's report is.
I believe that the CU Public Health is also the county health. They've just sort of taken it over and they run it also.
Well,
I
think it's
not.
The other way around.
No. It's not.
Okay.
It's separate. So let's, we're going to go to the next page. Just 5 minutes, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, so we will only entertain questions for this agenda item, so it will keep us to hopefully around 5 minutes. Because I'm sitting right next to Carol, she can just right over it. Uh-huh. Okay, and so jump in with your questions as we go along. But I will just say on this first section, there's a couple things. We need your help. I threw in a number of programs that can reduce the census of jail and therefore save us money. I know I missed some. Let me know if there's some you think need to be added. In addition to that, we talked in the last meeting about me working with you guys about getting numbers for your programs, both upfront costs and both looking at other programs across the country for counties doing it, the savings and reduced inmates and amount of money that way, and also if we can find any percentages in reduction in recidivism if anybody's had it for a long time. So those are all things that I still need to work with everybody on for this to add a little bit of heft to that first section so we can talk about how all your programs should, if implemented correctly, save the county money while we're reducing inmates and hopefully down the road reducing recidivism. Do we have any questions, Scott?
It's not so much a question, just maybe a question. And with the programs that could possibly reduce the census, it says programs that could reduce the sentence of the Champaign County jails and reduce correctional pretrial justice reform. I guess I don't understand that sentence. Programs that, I think the word's missing. Programs that reduce, that could reduce the census at the Champaign County.
Yeah, I think we're missing include.
Okay.
Because then basically it's just a lot of include, and then, so I would say programs that could reduce the census at Champaign County jails and reduce incarceration and recidivism include include correctional pretrial reform.
Instead of just pretrial justice reform,
I was just throwing these out. A lot of these are probably inexact.
Sure. And then pretrial services reform is it's just kind of.
You would say pretrial services reform. And I know, I mean, we've talked about instead of cash based, standards based or evidence based bonding, but I still don't think I quite have the jump on that. So any of these for your programs, tell me what you're. Tell me the best. The most exact way to put it. I know we missed some and some things like that, but not now because we have 5 minutes.
If you would send those that we missed, those that of course we don't have the numbers in here for. Mike, you're going to take and strike this stuff. Can you strike things we said?
I'm making notes on everything we said. And so then on the general corporate fund section, as everybody basically knows, but just to reiterate. So the county's general corporate fund, the general revenue fund, is this fiscal year $33 million. $18 million of that it involves the justice system. So everything we're talking about is a pretty big chunk of what the county does. And of that, the corrections budget is $7.5 million for people who are incarcerated. And then Lynn asked about community corrections, court services, and probation, where that would be located, is another 1.5. We get the reports from court services, so we can pull the numbers of people going through the system on that. We can compare those. But monetarily, it's 1.5 for court services and probation, which I think is largely going to be probation and parole. And then between corrections and the juvenile detention center, it's 7.5 million. And so, going under the public safety sales tax, as we've already talked about, this fiscal year, we're expecting $4.7 million to come in.
I think there's a couple of corrections, but you wanted to put in this section, right?
The expenditure is $4.7 million this year, so not 4.5.
Okay.
We're spending every dollar that
I was going off the budget, so that's anything that's changed or the final numbers.
It doesn't change, but there's more than one budget, and you don't have is the delinquency prevention because it's in a separate department.
Okay. So, expenditures. So, we're expecting $4.7 million to come in. We have a $4.7 million budget. $3.3 million this year is earmarked for debt service, and as we've said, that's the next 5 years should be holding fairly steady around 70% of that money. And, of course, as we've said, the other 1.3 to 1.4 mil this year, the 30%, right now is largely offsetting utility costs and court and justice system software that was put into place 3 or 4 years ago. And some of the emergency budget measures for the recession. And we are spending 5%, I think, there it is, $230,000 on the Parenting with Love and Limits program.
No, actually, that money, let's see. Oh, yeah, the 5% of the court?
Yeah, exactly. The
0.5% of the public safety tax is going to court diversion, which is the youth diversion programs.
Yes, 5%.
Yeah.
So, $230,000.
So, is the bottom line that zero money is devoted to adult
The only programming that we're doing is not one dollar.
Is it there?
We partner with the mental health board under the public safety sales tax to do this, and that is the only diversionary programming currently under the public safety sales tax.
There is not one penny of the public safety sales tax.
So then, where else are we going to find money? Not likely in general court, although certainly. There's the possibility for a virtuous circle the more, I mean, the less that we have to use traditional jail services, the more money that is freed up on programs to keep people out of jail or keep people from going to jail. So there's certainly that long term that we can look at. But the mental health board, Julian, you can certainly jump in and speak to this. A lot of this, I think, is from your email. Okay, well, then we'll wait so we have to plug it in. But so what we talked about hopefully doing with CU Public Health District, ideally, we are already doing a little bit with the Mental Health Board, which has dedicated itself to spending some money on mental health problems for people with correctional issues. And is this next fiscal year $576,000, or is this spread out more than 1 year?
That's
so what it is. So we're looking at 6 figures.
That's
next
an increase,
year,
by
yeah.
the way, about $100,000.
Okay. And that is community elements, right?
That's just for community
yes,
elements.
Yes, so working with community elements.
Are
you trying to move PL? And then overall, the Mental Health Board is expected to bring in $3.9 million this year. And they're spending $3.4 million of that on programming, for mental health programming. Obviously not nearly all of it concerning criminal justice.
A lot of it's for juvenile
yeah.
justice.
I don't want us to mix juvenile justice with...
Well, I'm telling you that that's a counselor. We don't want to take that away.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like there's really a lot of money that was sitting around.
Right,
there.
So
oh,
that, we don't want to mess with juvenile justice at all around this issue of adult corrections. Those are two separate.
So it will get tied up in these two pots of money because things are being funded for the juvenile
yeah.
diversion system. The 5% from the quarter cent
exactly.
now and this mental health grant for these services.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
We're granting over... working with them to, they actually, as you know, actually run this program for us. So we're giving them that money. And so then really, our short-term avenues that we use are state and federal grants. We're working with the Department of Corrections to get a better idea of some possible grants that we can list as examples. So we don't have that for you yet. But fortunately, we do have a couple examples of some things that the county has been able to do on that. The Access Initiative is a federal grant with the state of Illinois as the pass-through on that.
And that is a youth grant only? That's a youth grant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I
that's
for access. I want to include it for that reason. It's an example of a federal money, but it's going over to youth.
Or maybe you should identify that this is also a pot of money that's going to youth and very little or zero is going to
adults.
Right. I think if you're going to use it, you need to use it in the sense of we're putting a lot of revenue towards youth services, but not towards adults.
Because actually the goals of the Access Initiative for youth is exactly what we're proposing for adults in terms of coordinated
exactly.
between
yeah.
the coordinated
and
services.
Diversion and all that stuff.
We've successfully been able to expand the drug court programs as well with a next federal grant, right, Ms. Busey?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's running out. We're probably, if we want to keep that going, going to have to fund it.
Yeah.
But we can certainly, it will be hard to find state and federal grant money, work with corrections to do some of these programs, but we have been able to start some programs and hopefully we can start some more. So
there are potentially, and I don't know the names of them, but when this grant runs out for the dirt court, there
mm-hmm.
probably will be some similar things to replace if you want to do certain things. The Department of Corrections state grants also have like reentry kind of grants
exactly.
and things like that. So
and those
I
are exactly
the names
kind of
problems
that we're try to work with their legislative office to get listed. Since you're working with a lot of these grants, we'll probably be calling you up before the 25th.
We were told about this wonderful, wonderful county in Texas, Bexar County, and what a wonderful program they
mm-hmm.
have. And it turns out it's because they've got wonderful, wonderful federal funding. But if we could get into some of that kind of federal funding, that would be very nice.
I mean, I think the whole point of this whole exercise has been that the county really needs to shift priorities and put resources towards finding that revenue,
mm-hmm.
moving money around and supporting some much needed services that are not supported currently. Any other Patsy?
Just quickly, okay, to get to the final report, I hope it isn't in narrative and you get it more visual, because
our great coordinator of language and report, Darlene, is going to make sure that that gets done for you.
Yes.
You know, when I'm doing over here, past these tables,
she's going to draw it all out.
Little flow charts.
Okay.
That's what we plan to do. We're going to make all pictures, pictorial graphs.
I need to see it.
Okay, so we're going to move to the recommendation. No, we're going to move to the recommendations. Because we need to go through the recommendations.
And this task force. So what I'm suggesting is that these goals, and I've written it that way, these goals are quite consistent. This is where they're headed. And I made just modest requests for support from the county. Among the things that I'm asking for, however, in the section that I'm asking Darlene to tell me how much it's going to cost, because I haven't had it estimated, but I think she has a better understanding of what the personnel costs are. But among the things, for exactly what you were talking about, that is, I'm suggesting that the county needs to have a person responsible for creating these kind of intergovernmental agreements and seeking contracts and looking for grants. And if they don't already have somebody, county may decide they already have somebody on staff they can assign to this, but I think it's a full-time job. And so I'm putting it in the context of mental health. It may be in the context of all the things that you're recommending financially, but there needs to be a concerted effort to generate funds from places like the federal government and other granting agencies. Yes.
It would be either DIB or RPC that would do that. Something where the board is a grants person. Or the DIB would have somebody, or RPC would have somebody to look at.
Well, however it comes out, my recommendation is that the county staff needs to be dedicated. So number three on the last end of this thing is really all is what it is. County staff will need to be dedicated to a program development activity. And look for the, I think they have a person looking for the involvement of other units, like the mental health board, like the board of health, like the local hospitals. There's a lot of cooperative stuff that's going on in this community. Right now, people at Covenant are looking for help doing the things that they want to do. They're willing to cooperate, but there's no centralized place to make this sort of thing happen. So it's quite piecemeal. So I'm suggesting that a person be dedicated to do that sort of job, and that would ultimately be a way to begin to create. I think, for example, the suggestion that we create a 24/7 crisis center available for the police to bring people with mental health problems instead of the jail could, I do not think you can just say, oh, well, let's do it, here's how much it costs. I think that has to be developed in the community, and this is the way to develop it, to create this office and this set of cooperation and people talking to each other, and then it could happen. So I don't want to make an unrealistic proposal. I want to make a proposal that's realistic about the way things really work among people.
Everybody keeps saying a secure place. And if you're talking a secure place, you're talking a variation of a jail.
It doesn't have to be a jail.
And it is a secure facility for putting people. It is a form of jail.
Well, the detail of that, and here's what I think about this. The detail of what secure will mean for our community and our problems and how many different people it would take and what could be, what secure could secure be, enough case managers who would be able to pick up people and help them get back to the places where they had been living before in a secure way. There's a lot of ways that can be developed. I think it's, first of all, I can't on my own, and I don't think we should in this develop the details of that. I think that's the kind of thing that we should set as a goal. And then the people, the actors who are involved in this need to work out those things. So many of the police have ideas about that. Many of the people at Covenant have ideas about it. Lots of mental health people have ideas about it. Rather than impose the details on them, what we want is to create a context that enables them, that facilitates them, that rewards them for pursuing it. How they do it, exactly the way it would look in this community, will be look different. And there are other communities that have had these sort of places that work. The two that I saw referenced in the stuff that I looked at was, one was in Virginia, one was in, can't remember where, Florida. So these sort of pre-booking kind of places exist. But it doesn't make sense to propose it in detail because every community is slightly different. And the way it would work here has to depend on the particular local realities. So all I'm proposing is that there be somebody supported to start pursuing these activities. And I think without a single